Welcome back to another episode of Current Thoughts. I'm your host, Jay, alongside my wife, Dee. And on today's episode, we're going to be discussing our top 10 pieces of advice for visiting Venice for the first time. So just like the last episode we did, this time we're doing, instead of Munich, we're doing Venice. This was our second major spot that we visited, and I think we have a lot of good tips and advice that we could provide you guys, so you guys either get the same experience as us or prevent some of the mistakes that we made as well. So without further ado, let's get into it. I went first last time, so I'm going to let you go first this time for your top 10.
Number 10.
So my number 10 is to schedule an appointment to make an authentic mask. This is something that I wasn't really aware of. Our nephew made us aware of it when we were actually there, but by the time we were there, it was too late to actually make an appointment. But if you schedule an appointment to make an authentic mask, it's just something fun to do. They give you detailed instruction on the traditional papier-mâché techniques, and it lasts a few hours. The workshop is really fun. At least it looked really fun. And you can get very creative painting and decorating your own authentic mask.
Yeah, they have the different molds and everything as well, if I remember seeing
right.
These.
Right, yeah.
And you're going to find all kinds of Venetian masks shops all around that you could buy them if you just want to buy them. But this gives you a different kind of perspective. You actually get to make your own.
Right.
All right. So my number 10 is if you bring luggage, especially big suitcases, which a lot of people tend to do, know exactly what to expect. The streets of Venice are not made for roller luggage. There's a lot of bridges. You're going to have to go up and down stairs going across mm-hmm. those bridges. And it's not an easy task to do. We were fortunate enough that when we took the Vaporetto from the train station to our stop close to where our apartment was, we only had to go over one or two bridges, I believe.
Right.
And that was just getting there. So we were kind of minimalized a little bit there, which was good because we actually had some larger than normal suitcases. There are some bridges that do have ramps, but those are mainly for vendors and locals there. But I mean, you can use them, but they're very, very far and few between. And they're only on like the major ones close to like St. Mark's Square that we saw them. Everywhere else, it's completely stairs and you're going to have to carry them up and take them over. So just be prepared to carry whatever you bring or get an expensive water taxi that sometimes can take you directly to your hotel or accommodations.
Number 9.
And my number 9 is visit the famous bookstore. I'm going to murder this name. I think it's Libreria Acqua Alta. It's a really cool bookstore. They've got books in bathtubs.
Gondolas
and different things like that because of the flooding that they have there. But they have old, really, really old books that have been stacked up forever. And they even have a back area that you can walk up a bunch of books, like a staircase, and get a really cool picture.
And you'll see lots of different little cats lying around throughout the bookstore as well.
Right. It's a nice place. If you are a reader, it's a really cool place to buy a book.
But unfortunately, we made the mistake of not going early. You would probably want to go early or maybe right before it closes, because when we went, it was really packed, and trying to get through some of the narrow pathways throughout the bookstore is a little tough when it's really busy.
It's very tiny. It's hard for one person to get through, and then to allow somebody to get by you is really difficult as well.
All right. So my number 9 is when you're in Venice, you try squid ink pasta at least once. It's a specialty in Venice there, and it tastes better than it looks, especially if you like seafood. If you don't like seafood, I would still maybe venture to try a bite of it if you can, because it's actually, again, it doesn't look great. It's basically black sauce on your pasta, and sometimes it has little pieces of squid in it, but it's actually not as bad as you one might think just by looks.
Yeah, if you like fish, then you're probably going to like it.
Or if you just like calamari even, I think you would like it as well.
Right. Our nephew said his first bite, it was a negative no right away. And then as he had more bites of it, he's like, oh no, actually, this is not too bad. I think it was just the initial shock of the taste. And then he got used to it. But it did turn his mouth and teeth temporarily black.
Yeah, it can get a little messy. So just be careful and make sure you use your napkin pretty generously after you eat it.
Number 8.
Okay, my number 8 is visit the Opera House. This offers a chance to experience one of Europe's most beautiful and historically significant opera houses. It's famous for rising from the ashes after two major fires. And it's a must-see for all art and history enthusiasts. It's very gaudy, I must say, because there's so much gold in this opera house. It was insane, but it was very interesting. The interior is a masterpiece of the 18th century design, and it's characterized by luxurious gold stuccos everywhere and plush red velvet seating. It was very elaborate, but it was very, very pretty in a sense as well.
Yeah, my wife's kind of on an opera house kick ever since we went to the opera house in Paris. She's been kind of, any place we go to that has an opera house, she wants to go visit it.
Yep, I want to check them all off my list.
So did you need reservations to?
I booked this online. I just went to the website and booked a ticket through the website.
Could you buy tickets in person, like if you just walked up?
I believe you can, yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure, give that advice to our listeners there.
Yeah, it wasn't, I went when it opened and it wasn't very busy. It's not open every single day for tourists because they still have active shows going on as well. So you can also grab a seat for one of the shows as well.
That might be interesting. Okay. My number 8 is stay on the island of Venice during your stay. This one, to me, I think goes without saying, but I know there's a lot of advice out there to stay on the mainland and then just come and visit Venice during the day. And I would advise actually against that. The reason is if you really want to get the best experiences that Venice has to offer, which is typically in the mornings and the evenings without the crowds, this is something that you get to do. A lot of the vaporettos and stuff don't start bringing people in until probably 8 or 9 o'clock is when you start seeing the city start to pick up and the hustle and bustle. But you also don't have to pay the daily tourist fee. A lot of people that are just coming to visit the city during the day, they have to pay now that Venice has incorporated that into their fee structure there. And it's a little more immersive. I mean, you'll get to experience like the authentic neighborhoods, the locals, how they live. See how the city functions on a day-to-day basis. That was something we got to see, like these boats that are picking up trash or making deliveries, how early in the mornings you have people out there sweeping the streets by hand with a broom that looked like it was a Harry Potter broom or something.
It did.
So it's definitely one of those things where it's not, again, when we went, it wasn't, I wouldn't say outrageously priced. I know a lot of people say it's a lot more expensive to stay on the island, but I think you get a better experience of Venice.
I didn't think it was that expensive, coming from somebody that's very frugal.
Number 7.
Okay, my number 7 is do some shopping. So Venice offers a unique opportunity to acquire authentic, centuries-old artisan crafts, and specifically Murano glass. You don't actually have to visit Murano to actually get Murano glass. You will be able to find that in Venice as well. And as I said earlier, you can find the hand-crafted carnival masks and different textiles. And these things are sometimes difficult to find in other places. So I would definitely recommend doing some shopping. It's also a premier destination for discovering specialized non-touristy boutiques hidden along the quiet canals as well, and some luxury fashion brands near San Marco. They have really good leather goods and custom tailored apparel with lots of unique jewelry. So they have a lot to offer when it comes to shopping.
Yeah, I would just advise, just make sure that, because you're going to see a lot of shops that sell the Murano glass, even in like the main city of Venice. Just be careful, because there are some shops that actually have like knockoffs from China and stuff. So make sure that you're actually, if you're buying something, make sure it's something that's authentic, something that actually says that it's was made in Murano. You don't want to travel all that way, buy something that
it's made in China.
Yeah, made in China. So my number seven is make use of the Vaporetto. Now, again, the Vaporetto is like the water bus system throughout Venice. There are no cars there. So you're basically either getting a taxi, which can be really pricey. They start at like $45 and can go all the way up to like 110, excuse me, 45 euros and can go up to 110 or more just for a single ride, which can get really pricey. The Vaporetto, it costs $9.50 for a single ticket, which allows you to ride unlimited for up to 75 minutes. But that's not very long, so it's something short term. Or you can get a 24-hour pass for 25 euros, for a 48-hour pass for 35 euros, 72-hour pass for 45 euros, and you can get a 7-day for 65 euros. That's per person, though. And then the other last thing is, if you get one of these passes, that you still do have to validate your ticket at the kiosk before you get on each ride. But it was really a good, easy way to get around. It was also one of those that was really nice if you are going to want to go to Murano or Burano.
Or the clock tower, or, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to go to any of these little outlying islands, they take you there, but they also take you around the different waterways of Venice as well. So if you're out walking and maybe just you walked a lot during the day, you don't want to walk back, you can use that to kind of get to a certain part of Venice throughout the day.
Yeah, definitely take advantage of the maps, because it'll tell you which stops each Vaporetto stop goes to, because they don't all go to the same stops.
Yeah, it was a little confusing looking at some of these things. You got to figure out the routes, but honestly, I think Google Maps actually was really good. Whenever you use like public transportation on Google Maps, that seemed to actually help explain a little bit more. It helped us figure out the times, but you can actually go to a lot of the areas there and they like the different stops, and they'll tell you what places that they go to and the routes that they go going right, one way or the other. So it wasn't too hard to figure out. It just took a little bit of looking and understanding, trying to understand.
Number six.
My number six is indulge in some gelato. We had gelato every day, sometimes twice a day. Gelato is a Venetian gelato. Venetian gelato is dense, creamy, and made with natural ingredients, often featuring less fat and air than traditional ice cream. And beyond classics, many shops offer unique, local, and inventive options, like Dubai chocolate, white chocolate with saffron, and a spritz-flavored option as well. So the gelato has roots in Venetian aristocrat culture, where sorbets were enjoyed as early as the 17th century. And it's just an ideal snack to eat while you're walking around the canals and exploring what the city has to offer. And you can find gelato shops everywhere. They are all over the place. But I'll tell you, the best authentic gelato is usually kept in the covered metal tins. And that was my goal. Every time we went, I definitely was looking for that. And that's where you found the best gelato. And my nephew says that if they put a cookie on top, then it's good gelato. So you want to look for natural colors. Something that's pale green, if it's pistachio, nothing bright, because if you are getting the bright colors, then they usually have artificial ingredients. So just a couple tips on what kind of gelato to look for.
Just expect intense flavors as well, because I know the first time I had one, I had pistachio, and it tasted like I was eating a salted pistachio nut. Like, so the flavor was so intense.
Right. Yeah. Gelato, I'm definitely a fan now. I was not before, but I am now.
So my number six is to buy skip the line tickets for St. Mark's Basilica. So unfortunately, I made the mistake because I watched a couple of YouTube videos And they were saying that you can either buy a ticket online for 10 to 12 euros, I think it was, or you could just show up early and wait in line and pay 3 euros to get in. Again, me being the budget traveler, I figured, I'm going to be up early anyways, probably taking photos around St. Mark's Square. I'll just get up early and be one of the first ones in line and just pay the 3 euros. Well, the mistake I made was not really on my part. It was just didn't know. They must have just changed the policy, but they no longer allowed you to pay at the door. So unless you had a timed entry, which you have to buy online ahead of time and go during your time, you were not allowed in. And this was something that was contradicting to the information that I had learned. So unfortunately, I didn't get to go in there. So it looks like now you have to book an online prepaid timed entry for that.
Number 5.
Okay, so my number 5 is a reusable water bottle. Make sure you bring one, because drinking water is free from over 126 public fountains, and you do not need to buy bottled water throughout the day, because Venice is actively fighting to reduce the pollution from single-use plastics, because they're usually discarded into the streets and the canals, and so they're trying to reduce that. And the tap water in Venice is high quality and perfectly safe to drink. We drank the tap water right out of our faucet in our apartment. And then the fountains that you can find all over the city, they're everywhere, and the water tastes really good. So that's one thing I definitely recommend, is bringing your own reusable water bottle.
Yeah, that was a feature that I really appreciated about visiting Italy in general, but even in Germany, was that you could just drink the tap water without worrying about it. But it's nice if you're just out walking around the city and you just stumble upon a water fountain that you could just fill up your bottle.
Right. There's also an app, actually, that I didn't know about, but it's called Veritas. And it's a mobile app that allows you to find the nearest fountain. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can always download the map and it'll keep you informed on where your water stations are.
My number 5 is visit a Baccaro and try cinchetti. Now, cinchetti is another specialty food here in Venice. It's kind of something like, it's almost like happy hour, except you could do it throughout the day. And you go, typically the locals there, they go and they get 3 to 5 different little small pieces of cinchetti, which is usually served on a piece of bread. And then it has different ingredients on it. Could be cheeses, could be meats, could be fish. Obviously, you're in Venice. A lot of it's going to be fish-based. But you get to pick out which ones you want. And then you typically have a glass of wine or a spritz with it, either an Aperol spritz or a select spritz. And you just, it's a good way to actually interact with the locals. You can stand at the bar. It's kind of like a social atmosphere there that you do that. And each place, each Baccaro actually makes their own unique ones. Like a lot of times they have the same one. I think one of the famous ones there is like a cod spread that's put on top of it there. So like each one of the Baccaros have that, because that's like a traditional one there throughout the city. But then they all make their own unique ones as well. So, and they're usually 2 to 3 euros a piece or something. So it's something that you can eat very budget friendly.
Number 4.
Okay, my number 4 is stay in an apartment rather than a hotel. So an apartment will offer more of an authentic, immersive experience, allowing you to live like a local in a quiet, charming neighborhood like the Dorsa Duo. I'm going to murder that word. Or the Castello. We stayed in the Castello, and I absolutely loved it. The apartments often provide more space, privacy, cost sharing compared to hotels. They also have a kitchen, so if you want to make some authentic Italian food, then you've got the ability to do that. And it's more personal, and it just gives you more of a local perspective. They're often cheaper than hotels, and local hosts often provide you with personalized recommendations for restaurants, shops, attractions, what to avoid. and the typical tourist traps as well. And we definitely saw that with our host as well. And I would definitely recommend staying in a hotel. That is what we did, and it was absolutely the best time ever. Hotel. I mean, not a hotel, sorry. I definitely recommend staying in an apartment rather than a hotel.
Yeah, it definitely gave a more authentic experience for us. I know that neighborhood we stayed in was amazing. Just living in the apartment, it felt like we were living like a local there, just the authenticity of right. the apartment. Not to mention that there was a supermarket, a local supermarket right up.
Yeah, we had everything at our fingertips. It was a little further than the touristy stuff, but it was fine. We walked to, you know, we walked everywhere, so it didn't really matter. But it did take us, you know, 20 minutes probably to walk to the touristy areas and then 20 minutes back. So if you don't mind walking, the Castello is a really good place to go. I mean, you could always take a Vaporetto, I guess, but it was definitely, definitely worth the outside noise.
Yeah, the walking helps burn off all the carbs yes, you're eating.
Absolutely.
But the other nice thing about doing an apartment as well is a lot of times, a lot of people are visiting Venice as a stop. You know, they're doing multi-cities throughout, and this gives you a place where a lot of times apartments actually have the capability of actually doing laundry.
Right. That's true. Yep.
Whereas a lot of times the hotels don't have that.
Right. We had the ability to do laundry as well.
So number four is knowing that there are dress codes and bag limits on some of the tourist sites. I know that any of the basilicas that you must have your shoulders and knees covered, and this is for both women and men, in order to enter them. And I know just from my experience that like Doge's Palace and St. Mark's Basilica, they do have bag size limits that you can bring in. I know St. Mark's Basilica, even though I didn't get to go in, actually had a box that they were forcing you to, your bag had to fit in if you wanted to go into it. And I want to say it was like 10 by 10 inches to 10 by 10, maybe 12 by 12 at the biggest. But just be aware of that. Don't try to bring in a large backpack or something because you might get turned away. And again, if you were like where we were staying, where it was a 20-minute walk, you have to walk 20 minutes back just to kind of right. do that. So
number three.
So my number three is if you really want to see the city, allow for 4 days minimum. So this allows you time to explore beyond the main tourist sites of St. Mark's Square and the Rialto Bridge. It also enables a slower pace, so you're not rushing to see everything as well. It gives you time to go to Murano and Burano, and you can walk along the neighborhoods in the evenings, and it's much more quiet. It just gives you more of an immersive experience and living more like a local. The 4 days provides ample time to explore the 6 neighborhoods without rushing. I know we were there
like 2.5 days.
Yeah, and we really needed that extra day and a half for sure. There were some places that we saw from the tower that we went up into, and we're like, oh, we want to go over there. Oh, we want to go over here. And yeah, we just ran out of time. So 4 days is definitely, if you really want to see all of Venice, then I would definitely recommend that. Your experience would be more authentic, and it would be a lot more quiet than just rushing through the city in a day or two.
All right. My number three is take time to visit Burano. It is definitely worth the time. It's about a 50-minute to an hour Vaporetto ride out there, but it is worth the time. The beautiful, colorful houses surrounding the small canals just creates a picturesque moment. So whether you're a photographer or not, you're going to enjoy the scenery out there. Now, I would recommend that you try to go as early as possible just to beat the crowds. We probably went earlier than we needed to, but we were able to also experience the sunrise out there while we were there as well. And just another little thing, just like Murano is known for their hand-blown glass, Burano, besides their colorful houses and the small canals, they're also known for their hand lace making. Now, unfortunately, we got there too early. We didn't get to hang out long enough for the shops to open, because I know my wife was really interested in picking up something for her daughter, and that didn't happen. So just keep in mind that if you go too early, some of the shops won't be open. You might not get to if you're looking to do some shopping like that, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, they say the shops open around 10. And when they say around 10, they mean 11. Because I was waiting around and waiting around, and we had to catch the Vaporetto. And it was like a little after 10, almost 10:30, and they were still setting up. So just allow for that if that's something that you want to do as far as the shopping in those two towns.
Number two.
My number two is visit Doge's Palace. So in Doge's Palace, you get to cross the historic Bridge of Sighs, which connects the interrogation rooms in the palace to the dark, damp new prisons, offering a haunting glimpse into a prisoner's last view of Venice. It was pretty crazy, kind of gave you kind of an eerie feeling. So inside you have the golden staircase, and then in the courtyard you have the giant's staircase. And those are highlights. They show stunning Renaissance and classical art and design. It was the courtyard to me was just spectacular. I wanted to just go to Doge's Palace just for the courtyard. But inside, seeing the prisoners' cells, and literally there's nothing in them. There's no beds. There's no toilets. There's absolutely nothing but a hole in the wall that's maybe 8 inches around for food to go through.
Probably a piece of bread.
Yeah, it was very eerie, but it was very surreal to see something like that. And then to cross the bridge and to see what they saw last was pretty unique.
Yeah, I would recommend too, if you're doing that, to splurge and try to get the audio guide, because obviously it gives you a lot of backstory on the history of what you're actually seeing. And I know there was a lot of rooms, a lot of dark wood rooms, and we weren't sure exactly what each of those rooms were used for, because it seemed like there was a lot of different rooms that they would go from like one room to the next room to the next room. Some of them were very grand and very large, and then some of them were nice and small. And we never really understood what they actually did and used those rooms for.
Yeah, I think you can do a tour as well. And I think the tour takes you back into the attic and different places where the general public on a general pass just doesn't get to see. So if you're very interested in it, I would recommend doing that for sure.
So my number two is go to San Giorgio Maggiore. Everyone goes to St. Mark's Bell Tower because it's of its popularity and its location. It's right there in St. Mark's Square. But if you go across the water there, there's an actual island called San Giorgio Maggiore, and it actually has a bell tower that actually has a better view because you can see the entire St. Mark's Square in the photo, and there's rarely a line. And I want to say it was like €6 or something.
It was very inexpensive.
Yeah, to go up.
And there was nobody there.
And there was also, I mean, obviously you have to go through a church. There's a big church doors once you get dropped off by the Vaporetto. It's like a 2-minute Vaporetto ride from St. Mark's Square as well. So it's just easy to get there as long as you have that Vaporetto pass. And yeah, it was, so you get to experience the church and the bell tower for the six
years. You get to see the whole city of Venice too from way up on the bell tower. And like I said, that's how we noticed there's other neighborhoods of Venice. And we're like, oh, we want to see that. Oh, we want to go to that. And they were parts of Venice that we probably wouldn't have even known we were missing out on. And so now when we go back, we'll definitely be going to those neighborhoods as well.
Yep.
Number one.
So my number one is get lost on purpose. So Google Maps works surprisingly good in Venice. It really won't allow you to actually get lost, but allowing you to discover the authenticity and the quiet and charming local neighborhoods. So just start walking. You come to a dead end, it usually goes right or left. Just keep going and just walk and just take in the hidden gems, the scenic canals, and just make it an adventure. It is a very safe city to walk in, and you'll find quiet spots that are just breathtaking. You'll find street performers, local cafes, and you'll just immerse yourself basically in the Venetian lifestyle. And like I said, you can't truly get lost, but it is the best experience to just walk.
And take in your surroundings.
Absolutely. I think that was the number one thing that our host kept letting us know is just get lost. Whatever you do, just get lost in Venice.
All right. My number one is take a gondola ride. Now, I know there's a lot of people that have discussions about this on whether it's worth it paying the 90 euros for a ride. But I can tell you right now that if it's the first time going, that you definitely want to indulge and take a gondola ride. But it does matter where you actually start that gondola ride from. If you start it from St. Mark's Square, which is where a lot of tourists will grab one, you're out on the big canals where there's a lot of commotion going on with different boats, and it's a lot more bumpy as opposed to the smaller canals that are quiet and calm, and you just glide on the water. And if you're worried about the cost, it's 90 euros no matter if you have one person riding or 6 to 8 people. So if you want to cut down on the cost, maybe go ahead and join a ride with other people. We recommend, there's a Hard Rock Cafe. There's a little opening where there's a lot of gondolas that a lot of people pick up there. That's where we picked up ours. We recommend that place because for the most part, I would say 90% of the 30-minute ride, we were in small canals and we went out onto the Grand Canal for a very little bit and then came back in. And
it's worth the 30-minute ride.
Right. Absolutely. So this concludes our top 10. Hopefully you guys took something from this. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed this discussion and found some value in it. We'd love to hear what your thoughts on today's topic are. So drop us a comment and let us know. And if you enjoy our conversations, consider subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you listen on.
From both of us here at Current Thoughts, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another honest conversation. Till then, stay curious, stay open, and stay real.